Vito now to Logan and Dizzy! He strikes and he scores!
Russell fires his shot and an amazing finish!
This is the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Espinoza saved by Tim Melia again! Wow!
Now here's your host, the voice of Sporting, Blake Arnie.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Sporting KC Show. This time just on audio, myself, Blake Arnie, alongside John Kempen. John, it's good to be back here with you. How are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm ready for another week. Good home opener and obviously a big game out in LA. Team had a really good game on Saturday. Great crowd. I love the new additions to the stadium. I think there's a lot going forward for soccer in Kansas City.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I agree with all of that, John. You know, looking at all of this, I guess we'll take it back a little bit because I just have to ask John, from a little bit more of a personal level, we'll start a little more basic, but I don't think I've been enjoying this, with all of this weather right now. We've had all of the Midwest, we get the beautiful weather on, Saturday for the home opener, a couple days before it was freezing cold. Just have to, I guess, maybe start out a little more broad with you, John. What's this all about? This isn't a lot of fun. I know we can get into the soccer talk here in a little bit, but I think we need to start here with what is going on. I feel like now it's starting to get nice again this week. You know, hopefully we have a nice time out in Southern California. But
yeah, well, welcome to Kansas City. I mean, 75 degrees in March for the home opener. I'm not sure that's ever happened. I'm sure a lot of the foreign players here in Kansas City don't know what to think of this weather either. But I'll take it. 65 today. I'm sure the guys really enjoyed it in training. Myself living in LA and San Diego for a little bit while I was playing, it's going to be really nice weather out there for the guys on Saturday in LA.
And all of that to say, at least we're not in Salt Lake where LAFC had to play in 3 inches of snow. And that's the team that will be heading to Southern California where Sporting Kansas City will face them. We'll talk about all of that later, John, but let's get in a little bit to that Philadelphia game. We talked about how frustrating of an ending it was. I think on the Sporting KC show, or no, it wasn't on the Sporting KC show. That's what this is. We were on the Final Whistle post-match show talking about how we kind of agreed with what Peter Vermees was saying and that it felt like the team played very well and didn't obviously get the result they wanted. But all things considered, Philadelphia is a good team. They brought out a very rotated squad, but Sporting, I felt like, dealt with that very well for most of the game. They defended very well in the first half into the second half. Of course, it felt like they didn't really create much Philadelphia outside of that late chance. I mean, I don't want to just be all positive mindset because it was a very frustrating ending to the game, and it was a frustrating match overall. What are maybe the positives that you would take away from all of this?
Yeah, well, I think I agree with you. I think it was a better game than it was against Houston. Peter said that in the press conference after the game. I thought Jake Davis had a really solid game. I thought Sporting kind of cleared up that defensive marking on the back post that they had struggled with against Houston. And they didn't give anything away, really. I mean, other than that last chance at the end, which obviously hurt, giving away two more points, fans really deserved the three there. I think that really, they didn't have too many chances, right? Tim Melia didn't have too much to do other than that. So I think one really promising thing about this team is the defense is really solid, right?
Absolutely. You talk about Jake Davis. He's a player that throughout the week, you watch him, you see the kind of effort he puts in. It shows up and in the match on Saturday, and he was everywhere against Philadelphia. The back line, the pairing of Andre Ufontas and Danny Rosero has really seemed to settle in. Those two seem comfortable next to each other. And then, Tim Leibold jumping in after Logan Ndembe was injured at the end of last season and now being that starter at the beginning of the year. That back line with Tim Melia in goal has been very, very strong this season. And it does, I think, hurt this team to know that they've played as well as they have and they haven't been able to pick up 3 points in either one of those games. Of course, led in both games, they scoring the first goal. Remy Voltaire getting the goal in this game. And John, I have to say, it was a fantastic strike. The atmosphere in the stadium was electric as soon as he scored. We got to kind of see the new light show that happens when a player scores. the new board in the corner. I know we got to see that as well light up with a goal as Remy Voltaire buried the shot from outside the box. He's a kind of player that I feel like you can find him every once in a while, you know, a couple times a season, hits a shot from either outside the box or he finds himself open in the 18 and just he's good for a goal.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it was a fantastic goal. I mean, for me, looking around the league, there was some great goals too, but it was goal of the week for sure. And it's nice to see you can't always rely on your forwards, right? Your front three. You've got to rely a little bit on the midfielders to get some goals, to get some assists. You need to rely on the outside backs and also your center backs, right, on set pieces. So it was really good to see him take that chance. I thought it was a great effort. Obviously, goalkeeper had no opportunity to save it. So I know that the fans erupted when that happened. And I mean, the laser light show that they've kind of instilled in that new stadium is I mean, it's really special. It's something that you unique and that you don't see in every stadium around the league or any.
Yeah, it is fantastic. You know, we see some other things around the league of teams doing that. Sporting really feeling like they're trying to stay on the front foot and be one of the teams that's really changing the game, it feels like, and all of that kind of stuff. But in that goal, it was a classic Peter Vermes ball, Sporting Kansas City goal, where almost every player gets a touch on the ball in the build-up. You know, they're working it around, swinging it back and forth, waiting for their moment. It falls to Remy Voltaire at the top of the box. I mean, I think that's the most positive thing I would take out of that goal. Of course, it's not necessarily one of those. It was almost a half chance that Remy Voltaire had and scored. It to me, maybe something I want to see this from this team a little bit more is that great buildup and then finding their way into the box and finding a guy like Alan Pulido, finding a guy, you know, Johnny Russell or Daniel Shallowy working their way into the box and scoring. But for the most part, obviously still so early in the season, this team is going to score a number of their goals in buildups like that. And so that was a very big positive, you know, from me to see that.
Yeah, I agree. I think you look at preseason, you look at the tactics that Peter put together for this team, and it was a huge emphasis on possession, right? Building out of the back. I mean, there were times 20, 30, 40 passes before Philly even touched the ball this last game. I'd like to see them now go forward with a little bit more of a purpose, right? We need to get the front three involved a little more, right? Alan Pulido hasn't had too many chances. His offside goal was obviously a great one. And exactly what you're talking about in terms of build up and finding passes and finding him in the mid. But I think I'd like to see a little more production, obviously up top, and a little more possession with a purpose. You're wearing teams down by keeping the ball, right? As you get through the game, you keep the majority of the ball. They're chasing, they're running all over the field. Teams start to get tired. And ultimately, the goal is then to have possession with a purpose, go forward, you know, and kind of exploit their tiredness and get a few more chances.
Yeah. Possessional purpose. I like that. You know, I'm assuming, you know, that's probably something that is talked about a lot in that locker room of how, yeah, we have a lot of possession and we're going to be a team that dominates the ball, but really doing something with it and going forward and being purposeful with that is very important.
Yeah. But, and to kind of add on that a little bit more, we talked, Blake, before the game about the three keys to the game, right? And our first one was don't get too emotional, be patient, stay calm and play their game. So I also think while it's possession with a purpose, I don't mind them being patient and trying to find pockets through the midfield or, you know, balls in behind. I could have seen a little more balls in behind last game, but you know, Philly did come up with a little more rotated lineup. They had some of their veteran players and their starters on the bench to come in while Sporting got tired, right? They made some pretty good subs and ultimately got the goal at the end. I do think that Philly's younger, less experienced players were very hungry and kind of fired up for that. And I think a lot of that has to do with the atmosphere, right, in the stadium. I mean, if you ask around the league, everybody's saying, what's one of the best atmospheres in the league? What's one of the toughest places to play? And people always say, you know, I love playing in Kansas City and I hate playing in Kansas City. And it's because you love playing there. Atmosphere is unbelievable. Stadium is fantastic. But you also hate playing in Kansas City because, you know, atmosphere is unbelievable. Fans are right on top of you. And that's something that I hear from every player that I talk to. So to have younger, less experienced players come in and play there, you know, you definitely could see them fired up and hungry.
Yeah, we literally heard that from Memo Rodriguez. John, it's funny you talk about that because he talked about that exact same thing of saying when he was playing in Houston or, you know, the other clubs he played with, LA and with Austin, how he hated playing in Kansas City. But at the same time, he had a lot of respect for what this club does and what, you know, the fan base shows towards their players, because it really does make for that home field advantage, like we talked about throughout the week with some players, of how they feel like they have a true home field advantage. Not every team has the luxury of that. You know, not every fan base is able to do that in the same way that Sporting Kansas City does. So yeah, it was great to see that out. And, you know, in the first match at Children's Mercy Park.
Yeah. And kind of touching then again on some more positives, I thought Eric Tommy had another fantastic game, right? I mean, he obviously had the goal against Houston. He's put a lot of pressure on himself to get goals and to produce and get assists. He was all over the field in terms of defensively as well. I mean, I saw him tracking back, and that's what you need, really. You need buy-in from all 11 guys, all the guys on the bench, you know, the guys who train all week long. You need buy-in from them. And Peter talked about being competitive, right? That's, you might not have the best team, you might not have this, you might not have that, but if you have a competitive team, a team that brings the intensity, you're always going to be in a position to win.
Yeah, and this team, it felt like, was doing exactly that. Eric Tommy, a player that this season, his expectations have kind of gone up, and I think he is more than ready for that. So I'm very excited to see what we've already seen some great moments from Eric Tommy, him scoring the first goal of the season. I really am intrigued to see with what he's got in the tank for the 32 remaining matches in the season plus cup competitions, because he is a fun player to watch when he's out there. John, it was overall, you know, for me, the first broadcast that I got to do up in the booth. Of course, I'd been up there for working with the team previously, but it was my first broadcast in the broadcast booth as the play-by-play broadcaster alongside yourself. It was a ton of fun, I gotta say, being at home in Children's Mercy Park in front of, you know, 20,000 fans with standing room only tickets being sold. It was such a fun atmosphere, and I can tell you it's way more enjoyable to be in front of the home fans when doing a broadcast. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I'm guessing you do.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, I'm at the game doing the broadcast and so forth, but I'm also a fan myself, right? You know, former player, now always been a fan of Wizard, Sporting, whatever it might be. So, you know, to do the broadcast in the stadium with the fans was unbelievable. I mean, like I've said before, I get chills every single time I go back there. But it was also cool because I've got a lot of friends and family members and just got, you know, people around town who, Sporting Kansas City was kind of the talk of the town, right? It's like, they might not even be fans of soccer or Sporting. They go to the home opener and they were just blown away. I mean, I heard that countless times this last week. So, like I said, I think President Jake Reed talked about fan experience. You know, that's most important to them. Obviously winning trophies, I mean, that's part of fan experience, but fan experience. And I think if you look at the upgrades to the stadium and just everything that they have going on, it's definitely there.
Yeah, absolutely. The fan experience was great. If any of you listeners out there didn't get the chance to go out to the home opener, I can certainly tell you there's even more coming with the light show fan experience in that match against San Jose coming up. Don't remember the day exactly, John, but it's not this weekend, the following weekend on Saturday against San Jose. It's going to be really exciting to see what is being planned, what is all going to be there, and hopefully SKC can walk out with all 3 points. You know, we, in the match against Philadelphia, got to go over in the other broadcast booth. Philadelphia traveled their broadcasters, got to meet them. Sebastian Latou, didn't realize he was on the broadcast for Philadelphia. John, a player that you got to play against in your career, a player that scored in a big match for against Sporting Kansas City, but SKC ended up winning that one in the U.S. Open Cup final, John. But that was really great getting to meet those guys. They were awesome people, you know, sat and chatted for a little bit. And for me, it was cool, having grown up watching Sebastian Latou, get to talk to him and realize that, like, he's a great guy. He was awesome.
Yeah, no, unbelievable guy. I mean, extremely nice guy. It was good to obviously catch up with him. He said as I've mentioned before, he said he hated playing here in Kansas City. You know, he's like, it's always a tough environment. And he also hated losing to Sporting and, you know, and I was part of that team in U.S. Open Cup, right? You know, he was like, I want to win Open Cup and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it was good to catch up with him on that and pick his brain a little bit too about Philadelphia and kind of share, info about each other that we were able to use during the broadcast. So it was just really cool to see those guys here in Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't know if it was you, John, or if it was I can't remember who it was that brought it up, but said didn't Sebastian you score in that game? And he goes, yeah, but we lost. That was the only thing that he remembered. Like, he didn't care about everything else. He knew that's what mattered the most. And of course, it's on the wall, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, winning is the most important thing to these guys. I mean, sure, getting a goal, getting a shutout, getting assists, whatever it might be, those are just kind of individual stats, if you will, but the success of the team is what's most important, getting those 3 points, and those individual accolades will come later on.
Absolutely. And one thing, John, that I always appreciate about people that come to Kansas City is, or I guess come to Children's Mercy Park, is that it feels like everyone that comes in and sees it is like, wow, you guys have a great place here. I mean, it just continues to push off of what we were saying about how well the team has done to build this stadium and how well they've done to keep this stadium up, is that, you know, Philadelphia has a stadium that's not, is it maybe a little bit older than Children's Mercy Park, or maybe a little newer? I don't exactly know what year it was built, but it's a pretty similar time frame. And they weren't dissing that stadium by any means. It's a great stadium. It's a soccer specific stadium. It's something that is very much appreciated in this league, but they were just very complimentary of Children's Mercy Park, which was really good to see.
Yeah. I feel, you know, they weren't dissing their own stadium, but Philly Stadium's nice. It's right there on the water. There's a massive bridge kind of overlooking it. It's a pretty cool place, and they've got a great youth facility as well. But I think if you talk around the league to fans, they're planning their trips, they're planning their away trips. Where do I want to go and see a match? And if they haven't seen one in Kansas City, it's one of the first on their list, not only for the stadium, but just for what's going on in the city, the new restaurants that are being built, the entertainment districts that are being built. And then obviously seeing one of the best stadiums, in the league is on their bucket list. I mean, similar to some of the Sporting fans. We talked to one at that kickoff party, Blake, and, you know, they were going down to Houston. It's just, it's fun to travel to some of these other stadiums and see what it's like and see the experience and, find some unique ideas about that stadium. And I think there are a lot of fans who do travel to Children's Mercy Park. And we saw that right on Saturday night. There were obviously a couple of Philly fans there. And I think that the Cauldron and the rest of the fan base here in Kansas City do a great job of kind of incorporating, being hosts, if you will, kind of like Midwest Nice that it always is, you know, how can I help you? And I think that they always put together like a good little itinerary and places to go eat at and, and invite them to their tailgates. And I think the fans make it, although they're enemies, you know, and so forth, they make away fans feel welcomed and try to have them have a good fan experience during the games.
Absolutely. People always talking about how good the barbecue is in here in Kansas City. And no surprise to us, John, who grew up in this area. And no, we knew that from day one. That's always the way to go when you come to Kansas City.
Yeah, of course. Q39, probably my favorite. It's a little more, you can sit down and stuff. Joe's Kansas City. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. Jack Stack, those are kind of my top three. So what are your top three?
Oh, I'm a Joe's guy through and through. I will always, I don't even know if I need a top three. I just top one. That's all I got. Yeah, give me Joe's and I'm happy.
I definitely don't order as much as I saw Travis Kelce did for his meals. That's crazy, but he's obviously a big boy, so he eats a lot.
Yep. So it was great to see those people from Philadelphia. Always great to welcome people into Children's Mercy Park so that they can experience what a match is like. They do walk away with a point in a very frustrating manner. John, I think to kind of just put a bow on things, yeah, after a couple days post situation, if that's what we want to call it, all of that was very frustrating, I think, from Sporting Kansas City's side. Maybe have your opinions changed at all about, I think when we were talking on the broadcast, it was about, you know, this is a very frustrating situation because it felt like the referee should have blown the whistle to end the game on multiple occasions, as well as the fact that there was a very clear throw-in that should have been awarded to Sporting KC. And then it didn't go that way. Philadelphia go and score. And you absolutely have to defend that when it is coming in. The whistle has not been blown. You need to play until the final whistle. But I guess for me, I don't know that my feelings have changed all that much, more of maybe just every time I look back at it, I get a little frustrated.
Yeah, well, look, I had an opportunity to speak to assistant coach Zoran Savic, and he said, we've got to finish the game, right?
Yeah.
We've got to either get that second goal or we just can't let them score. Yes, of course, I agree with Peter's comments after, you know, I had a chance to rewatch it again. I think it was the wrong call. I think, you know, everybody's kind of been able to rewatch it. I think referees are human, right? They make mistakes too. It happens every single game. They're trying to limit their mistakes. The players are trying to train all week to limit their mistakes as well. That was just disappointing because for me, I think the team deserved all 3 points. I think the fans on the opening night, you know, deserved all 3 points as well. It is what it is. At the end of the day, you got to limit them getting that goal, right? You got to do maybe a little better on the set piece. You got to maybe score another goal or two to give yourself a little more breathing room. But I still think it's early in the season. The team is still undefeated, 2 ties. You know, matches have gone pretty well so far. I think there's a lot of positives going forward. And I think that they will regroup, have a good week of training this week, and then you go out to LA, difficult opponent, difficult place to play. They have had some success playing there, getting the road result last year. But it's still early. And Peter talked about, you know, 10 games or so, this team is going to continue to form their identity. They're going to continue to form, you know, that cohesion and that camaraderie as they move forward into summer and more congested schedules. And they're going to need everybody.
Yep. I think the forming of their identity is going to continue to happen here. He always says 10 games is when he kind of starts to really figure out what he's got. So I think we're just at the beginning of that. We will continue to watch as this team has a match coming up here. We'll talk about it in a later segment, but we'll take a quick break here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And when we come back, we'll have more of the Sporting KC Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into the Sporting Kansas City Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Make sure to follow Sporting Kansas City all over socials on Twitter, I guess X now, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, wherever you are. And if you're watching here on YouTube, you can see beside me Remy Voltaire, the man who scored the goal in the home opener against the Philadelphia Union. Remy, how are you feeling?
Feel good. I feel good. Still painful with my ankle because of the tackle I received during the game. But I got some treatment and I will be ready for Saturday, I hope.
That's good. People in the treatment room seem to be treating you well.
Yeah, yeah. They are good. They are a good guy. They treat me very good, so I could be ready for the game.
Good, good. So, you know, you guys have a trip ready to go out to Southern California, to L.A., but you just wrapped up your first game here at Children's Mercy Park in 2024. How was it to be back out in front of the crowd, in front of the home fans?
To be honest, it was so good. It was so good to see the fans, to just, like, feel the atmosphere that we felt last year. During 1 year, and it was very good with the new light, the new screen. It was like a different atmosphere, different environment, and it was so good for us.
Yeah, and you know, you ended up getting the goal or scoring the goal early in that game. You guys got out to a quick start, and you know, a great build up in all of that. You're the one to get the finishing touch on that goal. Kind of just talk through what you saw in that, all that build up, and then in scoring.
I mean, it was just a simple action. I think everybody on the field like play easy and simple pass. So that's why we go to the goal, we go through the goal. And I received the ball at the beginning, and then I combine with Daniel on the side and Tim. And then we decide to switch the ball to side. And Jake make the pass for Eric maybe. And the guy like just fell on the floor, and then I got the ball and I tried to shoot because I saw the opportunity to have a good shot, and I knew that the goalkeeper was like screened by the defender, so it was a good finish and good goal by the team.
Absolutely was. We saw you with a little celebration. It was an A celebration. Can you tell us maybe what that might have been about? Your son maybe?
My son's Adonis. My best friend is like Amin, and in France, and my brother is like Axel.
Okay.
So it means a lot of things for me.
That's wonderful.
It's like the triple A.
The triple A. I like that. So now fans know when you do that, what that means. So how is Adonis? Tell us a little bit about the guy. He's running around now on the field, I think, after games.
Yeah, now he's running everywhere. He discovered the life, and it's good. It's a good feeling for me, for him, for all the family. I mean, it's very good. Yeah, it's very good.
That's awesome. Soon enough, you know, you're going to get him kicking a ball, maybe have a little bit of Project Mbappe on your hands, right?
We started.
Okay.
He started to kick some balls at home. He loves soccer ball, so that's a good sign for me. Yeah, why not? Maybe he will be Mbappe in the future. I hope so for him.
For him, exactly. That's great. So, you know, you guys looking forward, you've got a tough one ahead. LAFC always seems to be a tough team to play, whether it's here or in LA. Yeah. You've had some success in the last couple of years. You know, you win 4-1. I think it was in 2021. Last year, you guys were able to get a result. I guess what kind of things go well when you guys are able to have success out there?
I mean, it's always a tough game because they have a good team. They have good fans, a good stadium, and it's pretty hard to play against them because they play really well. But just we have to understand that we have quality, and every time we go away, we have to show like the same soccer, the same mentality that we put at home. And I think that will make the difference, because if we go over there just to just get a point or whatever, it could be very hard. But we have to play like our game and just be focused on us, and normally it will be better.
You know, Peter seems to talk a lot about when we get the chance to talk to him and some of those media availabilities, about how he wants his team to dictate the pace of play at home and to really go after teams. I guess, how does that kind of shift when you're on the road? Do you guys have to feel the game out a little bit more?
Yeah, it's different, because when you play away, the team that they were home, they play the same way. They try to put you on pressure. They try to press you, because everybody is for them. You know, it's always like this. And it's pretty hard to... It's pretty different to play home away. So I really think that we need to be like all together as we play at home, to put the same intensity, the same mentality on the game. And I think we will play like a home.
Yeah. You guys have a long trip out to LA. I guess you're a player who has played in Europe. You've played, you know, you played in France before you were here at SKC. Do you feel like some of that longer travel takes a bit more of a tax? Obviously, you're still early into the season, but do you feel like in the United States here in MLS, those longer flights take a bit of a toll on you a bit more?
For sure, it's different, but we have the luck here in Kansas City to be on a like on a middle. So when you play west or east, it's always like maximum 3 hours of travel. So it's pretty good, because in France, for sure, you have like always 1 hour, 1 hour and a half maximum. But it doesn't change like a lot for me, to be honest, because we travel the day before the game. So it's okay. You can rest at the hotel. You can do whatever you want. You have 1 day to prepare the game. And I think it doesn't change for me a lot.
What do you find yourself doing? Are you a guy who sleeps on the plane, or what do you like on the plane?
Yeah, on the plane, we just listen music,
just
chill with player, with teammates. We just, like, sometimes we sleep. It depends.
Yeah, whatever the day brings, I'm sure. But, you know, this team, you're becoming one of the more experienced players on this team. A couple more guys have come in, maybe French-speaking players. Have you found yourself being a little bit of a role model and someone who's helped other guys work their way into this team?
For sure. I got a little bit like more experience now, because it's my fourth year here, and I have to help the new guys here, the young guys even. So I try to do my best on the field and out the field, because I think it's very important. If we want to win the trophy at the end of the season, I think it's very important to be all together like a family every day, and that's a part of my role here now.
And kind of looking at everything from a much broader perspective, you guys, 2 games into the season, you're going now on the road. How is, I guess, the mentality of the team from a much broader perspective? Do you guys, I guess, how are you feeling?
I mean, we feel better than last year for sure, because I think we understand a lot of things about last year, and we don't want to do the same mistake or whatever. I think we had a good start. honestly, about what we do on the field. We just got unlucky about what happened, but we should have like 4 or 6 points after two games. Okay, unfortunately, we have 2 points, but I think we have a good future for that season because we have always like every day the good mentality on the training. We work very good. We work hard all together, and I think we will have a good season.
I mean, that's got to be somewhat tough when you have a game where things didn't go necessarily the way you felt they should have or the way you guys wanted them to just put that behind you and look forward. How do you shift your mentality completely to the game in front of you?
I mean, it's just like soccer life. Yeah. We have to. For sure, it's like a lot of frustration after the game for everybody, the staff member, because they work with us all the time, for the medical staff, for the player, for the fans. But you can't imagine our feeling after the game, after one game like this, as a player, as a soccer player. It's like a lot of frustration. But we have to move forward, because if we stay here, for sure in LA, we will not be there, and we won't have a good game. So we have to move forward all together. We have to understand that that's the past now, and we have to do everything we can to get 3 points in LA.
Well, we're all here hoping for you guys to get 3 points, Remy. Thank you so much for your
Thank
time.
You.
That is Remy Voltaire here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. We'll be back here shortly on Sports Radio 810 with some more from the Sporting KC Show.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back here on the Sporting KC Show, John. We have one final segment here to talk about the matchup upcoming. Got LAFC on the docket. Sporting Kansas City will head to LA, a place where they have seen it all. Last year, I believe it was a 1-1 draw. Before that, they lost. And then 2 years ago, they won 4-1 in a match that they just dominated. And they went out and they were the better team. What do you expect, John? Is this going to be one of those games that you just really don't know what to expect? Because it feels like LAFC are a very well-structured team, have a great coach. It's never easy going to LA.
Yeah, I think you're always going to know that this is a team with some great attacking weapons. They've got not only attacking, I would say. I mean, the entire team, you've got some great options. New goalkeeper coming in Hugo Lloris. I mean, that's something that I'm excited about seeing. You know, he's a guy that I've kind of followed. And you have a head coach who's also a winner, similar to Peter, right? He just knows how to win. And sure, they had a big loss to Salt Lake this last weekend in the snow game. Everyone probably saw that at difficult kind of conditions. They were fired up about it, you know, extremely upset that they were playing that, just given the fact you couldn't even see lines and so forth. But they've got one win and one loss. And you know, they usually have a condensed schedule, not as condensed this year. I think it's going to be a difficult task for Sporting Kansas City. But I do think that, like we've talked about, one of their big positives is their defense and going up against kind of LAFC's good attacking group that Kansas City can handle them.
Yeah, it was a very much welcome to Major League Soccer moment for Hugo Lloris, wasn't it? You know, playing in a couple inches of snow in Sandy, Utah, like that. If that is not MLS, I don't know what is, in his second game in the league.
Yeah, it was. I mean, as a goalkeeper, that is not the funnest game because you're sitting back there. You're probably pretty layered up. You can't move as easily, and you're not running around like the field players. So you're sitting there frozen, you know, kind of like
just freezing up.
Yep. Yeah, and also, to be quite honest with you, you look at Jimmy Nielsen's gloves from 2013 here in Kansas City, and I've experienced this myself. Is the gloves have a little water on them? There's just some precipitation on the field, and the water gets on your gloves and your gloves freeze up. So you go and catch the ball and it's like, they don't even do anything.
You're knocking icicles off of them.
Pretty much. Honestly, it's ice. Yeah. So I'm sure you had something similar and you had the snow to deal with. So probably froze up a lot quicker.
Yeah. I mean, that's gotta be a tough way. And, you know, playing in England, it's never anything like that. Really. Hugo Lloris, of course, former Tottenham goalkeeper was one of the best goalkeepers in the Premier League for quite some time.
Yeah.
And now playing in Major League Soccer,
is, you know, welcomed into that. Now Sporting Kansas City will face off against him. It's going to be fun to watch him, like you said, John. I'm definitely looking forward to that. But in my opinion, LAFC's loss, you know, a 3-0 loss, it was very much in favor of RSL. They were not happy about the conditions or any of that. I kind of throw that out the window a little bit because of the conditions. You look at that as, you know, that's not LAFC. They're a much better team than that. And I think Sporting Kansas City's thinking something similar, because you can't go into that match. I mean, they're going to be, LAFC's going to be coming into this game, this match against Sporting Kansas City, hosting it, just fired up, because they know that they are coming off a 3-0 loss. They're a way better team than that. And this is a team in SKC that is consistently, in years past, near the top of the Western Conference and always is a tough opponent. So I think they're going to be as fired up as they could be.
Yeah, and you know, in their home opener, they beat Seattle Sounders, another top club, 2-1. So, you know, this is a team that quickly got 3 points under the belt. Sure, they lose 3-0 away to Salt Lake. I don't know if that game's a little skewed because of the weather. You know, I don't know how much I can put into that result for them. But this is a club, like you mentioned, that's always top of the table, making the playoffs, expected to perform and win trophies similar to Sporting Kansas City, right? I think that as an organization, they have similar philosophies that Sporting Kansas City does as well. And if you talk, you know, you talk to people around the league and fans and so forth, and you say, well, what are the top clubs in Major League Soccer? Sporting Kansas City and LAFC are always in those conversations. So it's going to be a fun match. Personally, this is one that I'm really excited to watch. And like I said, I mean, it's going to be a tough game, but it's going to be a good game. And I think that you're playing LAFC this early in the season away. You now have two draws in your first two matches. I think it's going to be a great learning experience too for the team. And you've got some newer faces to Major League Soccer as well. Going away to a hostile environment like LAFC at BMO Field is going to be a great experience for them this early on in the season. I mean, you need that for some of these younger guys.
Absolutely. You know, this is a team that's still finding its identity, like we talked about, and some of those younger guys want to work their way into this team as a part of the identity, whether it's consistently coming off the bench, whether it's finding a way to play as many minutes as possible. I mean, obviously that's what those guys are looking to do. We're going to get the chance to see how those guys fit into this team in a very tough place to play. Like you said, LAFC in Los Angeles, still searching for the first win of the season, of course, you know, two draws to start the year. SKC, a team that wants to be near the top of the Western Conference, and they're going to be fighting to get their first win of the season in that tough environment, BMO Field. John, you had the chance as a player to play in a stadium, to play in that stadium in front of the 3252, a very tough place to play, I have to imagine, at least from what I've seen. Kind of talk about it from your perspective, what it was like playing in that stadium in front of that crowd. You know, has really cemented themselves as one of the better atmospheres in Major League Soccer, even though they've only been in the league for as long as they have.
Yeah, you know, it's a nice stadium, I'm not going to lie. It's really nice. Field's always in great condition, and it's always packed, right? And you sometimes get, you know, star-studded fans being in LA, obviously. And you know, there are, LA is a very large city, right? I mean, it's a massive city. You have a ton of people who live there, but you also have a ton of people who aren't from there. And so it's kind of cool to see those cultures come together in the stadium. And you also usually have a decent supporters, away supporters section too, because I mean, it's LA, it's a good place to kind of go to, good place to vacation. So it's really cool to see how all those cultures come together and they build this kind of fan experience, chance that they have, really good chance. They're constantly singing, constantly rowdy. It's difficult. It's a difficult place to play. It really is, similar to Children's Mercy Park, obviously. But I think it's a fun place to play because of that reason. We talked about it earlier. These environments where the fans are always cheering. I mean, I'll give you an example. When I went down to play Miami, was it 2 years ago? I mean, the fans there had these chants, and you know, it's a smaller stadium. It's kind of you know, not as big of a stadium as some of these other ones. And it was still loud. And I'm sitting there on the bench and I'm like, you know, this is what it's about. This is awesome. You know, I was pumped up. And it's another environment that I think that, like we just talked about, these younger players are going to go in and be like, man, this is awesome. You know, let's go. Here's a little more motivation, even though it's in a way, you know, it's a not your home fans and so forth. I think that it's going to be a good experience for them.
Yeah. And I think there is something to be said of sometimes you can feed off that energy, even if it's negatively directed towards you, you can flip it and kind of direct it as a positive, you know, personally. So that's always interesting to watch as players do that.
Yeah, exactly. And I wouldn't say that Sporting Kansas City is going into this game underdogs or anything. I think it's way too early to tell on that front. But when you are in a away stadium and you do have fans cheering like that, you sort of do get this like underdog mentality. Like, you know, I'm going to show them like, oh man, I just really want to win this game and beat them. And I mean, that's what you get when you play in stadiums that are sold out like that and constant cheering and stuff. So I think a little more motivation.
I definitely think that's something that this team is going to be focused on, is going in and kind of being that villain, John. You know, we see a couple players on this team that's very consistently good. They were not too far removed from winning Major League Soccer 2 years ago, winning MLS Cup last season, being in the MLS Cup final against the Columbus Crew, of course, lost that match. But this is a team that's consistently vying for trophies. Steve Cherundolo, ever since stepping into that role, a fantastic manager. Elie Sanchez is one that SKC fans are very familiar with. Elie was served for a while here in Kansas City, was a great player in the midfield, and even played a little bit defensively for SKC. This team, you know, talking more specifically about the game, is going to be very, very tough to break down.
Yeah, Illy, I mean, he's a top player, right? I think, you know, he was a loss for Sporting at the time, and he's been a great addition to LAFC. Like we already talked about, I mean, Hugo Lloris, goalkeeper, one of the best in the world. Aaron Long coming over, you know, obviously from New York Red Bulls. He's had a good time here at LAFC. I mean, a big body in the back. Sporting will definitely have to watch out for him on set pieces. You know, Buonga up top, obviously a goal scorer, a great finisher. You know, and Tillman there on the right side, Hollingshead coming from Dallas as a right back. So I think, you know, they've got some really solid players, and they do have some players off the bench that can come in and produce as well.
Yeah, very dangerous team. Denny Bwongo, one player that many people think is going to be near the top of the MVP or Golden Boot categories. He's been near the top in years past. He's a player that SKC are going to have to try and shut down. If I'm not mistaken, scored the goal in LA last year when SKC drew 1-1 with LAFC. We talked about it earlier, at least John, you kind of touched on it, about how this team, LAFC, tends to have a lot of congestion in their schedule because of CONCACAF Champions Cup. Well, previously it was CONCACAF Champions League, and they're always playing in all the competitions because they're near the top. This year, they're not playing in CONCACAF Champions Cup at this week, you know, heading into the SKC game. So they have a full week's rest. It's the first opponent Sporting's playing this year that does have a full week's rest, because, of course, match one, Houston had come off the CONCACAF Champions Cup game. Philadelphia last week coming off CONCACAF Champions Cup. So that's going to definitely play a factor. After losing 3-0, they're going to be jazzed. They're going to be ready to go, but also have a full week's rest.
For sure. And one thing I want to touch on here is LAFC, no Carlos Vela, right? You know, so how do they build their identity without him there? Does he come back? You know, he's still a free agent. I'm not sure. But you know, regardless, he was a big piece to the success of this team over the last few years. And how do they build an identity without him there, right? And you look on the Sporting Kansas City side and you see how Peter Vermees has kept the same starting 11 the last two matches, right? So I don't know what the lineup will be this weekend for either side, but if Sporting continues to keep that cohesion, that consistency, the consistency in the back for the most part, and continue to stay healthy, they're only going to get better, and they're going to be able to go up to some of these teams, you know, go up against some of these teams who don't have congested schedules, who have a week to prepare like Sporting does, and be able to compete.
Well, I'd have to tell you, John, based on the two matches that we've seen from SKC, it feels like defensively they've been very solid. They believe in their attackers. So you'd have to think it's probably going to be the same 11. Of course, you know, Remy Voltaire, we saw him take a nasty challenge last week against Philadelphia, as long as he's healthy, you've got to imagine it's the same 11. And if it's not, it's probably just that one change. I think the biggest thing for me is going to be seeing Alan Pulido, Johnny Russell, and Daniel Shalloway, that front three getting into form. And I would love for it to start in this game, because we both know, and everyone around Sporting Kansas City knows, how dangerous that attack can be. Especially, I look at Alan Pulido as the guy when he catches form, as soon as he's on form, it is hard to stop that guy. And I think there's going to be a period this year where he catches form and he is flying. And I'd love for it to be as sooner rather than later.
I agree. I think all Alan Pulido needs is kind of that first goal, right? You score that first goal, kind of the pressure of last season, of, you know, preseason, of the first two matches not scoring, you now just kind of, it just goes away, and he can get back to playing freely, get back to his game, being in the running for Golden Boot and MVP. You know, and then I think same with Daniel Shalloway and Johnny Russell. It's just, you know, one assist, one goal, whatever it might be. And I think, I mean, this attack is one of the most dangerous attacks in the league, right? If you look at their production, if you look at who they are, and from a player myself, if I was on the other side, I'm going, oh man, you know, I'm going to be busy this game. And I think it's just going to take one goal, one assist for those guys to catch fire.
Absolutely. And looking, you know, overall at that LAFC team, it's kind of a little bit of some returners, some guys that are new. They're a very talented team. Bogush up top is a very, very talented number nine. And I think he's someone that SKC fans should have to watch out for going into this match against LAFC. John, I guess a lot of positives to build off of, but looking at this match in particular, maybe any, I guess, peeks into what your keys might be, some things that you feel this SKC team needs to do to have a game like a couple years ago when they won 4-1?
Well, you know, again, it's another opportunity to get a result. Sure, we always talk about it, 3 points, but it's another opportunity to get a result, so I don't think they have to come out flying. You know, don't give LAFC any chances. Don't make any mistakes there at the back. Continue to have that solid defense, right? You know, limit the chances for LAFC. They got a really good attack up front, so limit those chances. Keep your defense solid. And then I think, like we just said, Sporting needs to somehow figure a way to incorporate those front three and get a few more chances, whether that's coming through the midfield, whether that's going in behind. You know, maybe Jake Davis, obviously a great attacking outside back. So does he get some crosses off? You know, I don't know what the solution would be just yet. I think it's still early to tell, but, you know, I'm sure that Peter and his coaching staff are looking at how to create more chances and get the ball at Alan Pulido's feet.
Absolutely. This team, once that attack gets firing, I think that it feels like the last couple years, it's always around the month of May that they just start to get firing and they score tons of goals at home. And I hope maybe this year it starts in the month of March, John. Maybe that'd be a little bit more fun, as this team could just stay near the top of the Western Conference, get that first win in LA. I know that's what I'd be hoping for. I think you're probably in the same boat there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, first win will be kind of huge weight off their shoulders, but still undefeated. You know, two good matches, two good results. Just, I think they're continuing to gain experience and build that identity that we talked about as each game goes on.
Well, we'll be watching, and you can join us on the call here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we go through all of the action Sporting Kansas City take on LAFC in LA. It'll be a 9:30 Central kickoff, and it'll be 7:30 West Coast time, but here in Kansas City at 9:30 p.m., a late one. It's going to be a little MLS after dark, John, as these two teams kick off in that late match window time, and you can catch all the action here. Make sure, if you haven't already, follow Sporting Kansas City on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, even if you want to do that. And thank you so much for joining us here on this week's episode of the Sporting KC Show. Make sure to stay tuned here, and we will be back with more SKC Show in the future next week after we know more about what happened in LA. That's all we've got here on the Sporting KC Show.